What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We are here. Welcome to In the Bag. Robbie C, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. As you notice, Robbie is, we'll call it on location. Robbie's on location for our first podcast here in 2024. Doing a little work on the road and happy to have him on here. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about 2024. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today with you all is, you know, some lessons learned, some fun things that we had happen here on In the Bag in 2023 and kind of what's the future? What's 2024 look like? For us, for In the Bag, for you all as listeners in the bag. So we're going to dive into that. But before we do that, want to, as always, thank our amazing, amazing bag building sponsor that has really just added something wonderful to what we're doing. It was like the missing piece, I would argue.
Absolutely.
To really bring this all together. But Disc RPM, thank you for helping us build the In the Bag community. And, you know, we're over 600 members now. So thank you for that. And, you know, more and more features being added every day. You can search for people's bags. There's stats in there. You can see what other people's bags are looking like. You can add how far you're throwing now, things about your form. I mean, we're just going to continue developing this with David and the team over at Disc RPM and really make this cater it to you. Cause, and hopefully this is a thank you for all of you for listening and being supporters. We're really trying to build this to be valuable for you and for free.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, I was having this conversation with some of my patrons the other day, and we were talking about Disc RPM. They were like, it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. And if I'm being honest, it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere for us too, in terms of there was a product that existed, and someone said, hey, I love disc golf. I think I can do something better. And they did. And we're now building a product that is really just so well done. I was playing with someone yesterday and they mentioned that, oh, like, I didn't know you had that in your bag. And like, the thing is, because I made a couple of different changes, but I haven't updated it on Disc RPM. So like, it's a really cool way to see a real time, like, what's actually in their bag and what's updated there. And I think the challenge that I would give, because I was at a lunch for this yesterday, and I think that disc golf is at a place where there are so many different things that we've just accepted. That's what it is. Like, oh, you want to talk about scoring? You go to UDisc. Governing body, PDGA. Like, there are things, and you even go to, we were using a website because they were the only website that really was, that had an easy interface to use. Mm-hmm. And then someone came in and did it better. So if you see a thing in disc golf that you use all the time and you believe with a little time, a little effort, and your skill set, you could do it better, I want to encourage you, go for it. Like, our sport needs it. And I think that options like Disc RPM really do help take that to another level.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks to Disc RPM for checking it out. If you haven't checked it out, please go there. It's 100, no gimmicks. It is free. Join the In the Bag community. You can put your disc in there. You can see other people's actual discs. And learn a little bit about what everybody else is doing. You can keep up on within the bag. Our feed's like right in, built in, so you can look at that. You can see mine and Robbie's bag. And hey, we're going to get the other guys to start putting theirs in there too, so we're going to have a lot of fun. But yeah, no, we're excited about that. Going into this year, we're excited about a lot of other things. But, you know, before we jump into 2024, we definitely wanted to just, and I think we did this last year as well, just take a minute, do an episode, kind of recap a little bit, things we learned, things we threw that we liked, things that we didn't, things we want to like but don't. And also, you know, we want to open it up and have some discussions on what we can do for this upcoming year, some requests we've heard from all of you, and we want your feedback too. So if you're listening to this, make sure you take some time at the end of the episode to comment. We're going to read through all of this and just really take your feedback. Again, just like Disc RPM, this podcast is for you. We want this to be something you enjoy listening, that stays interesting, that keeps growing along with all of you and all of the listeners. So,
yep. Oh, absolutely. So, as we think back through the year, we recommended quite a few discs along the way.
Just a few.
And so we wanted to kind of take a moment to say, okay, thinking back through those, we'll receive discs that, you know, we got to do a recap episode. We got to get one of those on the schedule. because that's definitely feedback. We've only done a couple of those, and we've got a lot of guests in the meantime that I want to bring in. But Brad, looking through the discs that we recommended this year, I would love to kind of break it down into a couple segments. So starting off with we'll start negative. How's that sound? Start negative,
right.
And then
yeah,
close out on a higher side.
Right.
So what were some discs that when you got the text of like, hey, how about trying this, you were excited for and you got through the field, or you even maybe, I know one of these kind of has been a longer struggle of trying to figure out how you feel about it. So what were some discs that you wanted to like that didn't necessarily get the love?
Yeah. So one I'll get out of the way, and it's not that I don't like this disc. It just is a complete overlap of something I already love. And like when I threw the Toro, I think I've thrown the Toro multiple times now because for both bag drafts and for episodes. And I like the Toro. It feels good. It just doesn't do anything special that would kick the zone out of my bag. And I'm already comfortable with the zone. I know the zone. I know different plastics of the zone. It doesn't seem like there's a reason for me to just switch to the Toro all of a sudden. Love Calvin. I think it feels good. It feels good in my hand. The flight is nice. I didn't fall in love with it. It was a Toro. I'm like, oh, it's a Toro. Okay. I get it. It's their zone. So that's kind of where I was with the Toro. Another like one I wasn't like too upset about, and it's still a good disc, the Wave. Like my youngest throws a Wave. He has multiple in his bag. He loves it. I know a lot of people love the Wave, and we've recommended the Wave for different things. I've recommended the Wave here in the store to people for specific things they want. And it's not that it's not a good disc or doesn't have a good flight or anything like that. It's just for me, well, for whatever reason, it feels really weird in my hand, and I don't know what it is. It just is not comfortable. It's not that it's too big. It's just, I don't know, the way that it sits. I don't know if it's like kind of the little bit of like, I don't know what it is. I still haven't figured it out, but I want to love the Wave. I think it's a great, I like the flight of the Wave a lot. It just doesn't really make sense for me just because of the hand feel. While we're talking about hand feel, another one was the Passion. That may be, you know, in my top five moments of the year, that me throwing it in the trash. You know, again, Passion's not a bad disc.
Foundation of Family.
Yeah, right. I think I'm the only one that doesn't like the Passion, probably, here in the Foundation family. But just doesn't feel good in my hand. I think it's a great disc. I think it flies great. I think a lot of people love it. It just isn't... I hate to say this because I hate to speak in like definite statements here, but the Passion will never be in my bag. Unless it's a punishment of some kind, it's just not going to be in the bag.
Oh man, let us know in the comments what's the maybe. Oh, that's giving me an idea for later. Okay, coming back to it.
Yeah, all right. The two that were really disappointing. There's two that are really disappointing. There's one that just kind of rides that like gray area. The two that were really disappointing to me, the MD3 was disappointing. And not the sense that it didn't do what I wanted it to do or do what it's supposed to do. I love the FD, and the MD3 kind of seemed like the similar, like it's mid-range like cousin, kind of. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is what I want. But it didn't impress me. It's one of those discs. It's kind of like the Meteor in my mind. It's just like, it feels bigger. And it like sits weird, and this is a very like tiny thing, but it sits weird in my bag, and it makes my other discs sit weird, and I just don't like that. It makes me upset. But it didn't do enough different or like blow my mind enough to like justify like being annoyed by that particular very weird problem. And I just really, it feels really good in my hand. That's the really upsetting part. It feels good.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, it's upsetting. And then the Eagle. The Eagle was disappointing. And as a man who has an entire sleeve of Birds of Prey on my arm, I want to like all Bird of Prey discs just by nature. And the Eagle seemed like a great, and I know Calvin loves the Eagle. I know like the Eagle's like a standard, and it has a reputation. And I'm not saying the Eagle's a bad disc. I'm saying for me in particular, the Eagle did not make any sense. It didn't feel super great in my hand. And again, the flight wasn't like great enough for me to justify just ignoring that. And it just kind of had some overlap with some stuff I already liked. And it didn't, again, didn't blow my mind enough to be like, oh, I need to change my ways and use Eagles now. I'll be honest, the Eagle was a hard one to swallow because I really wanted to like it.
Yep. I know how much you love your birds, and that I can see the pain in that. We're actually the crew that I'm staying with tonight, we're playing Wingspan tonight.
Oh heck yeah.
So you mentioned something super fascinating there, and I want to make sure that, like, because I think a lot of people come to this podcast to learn a little bit along the way. I think when you hear a recap episode, you could be like, oh, well, we're just going to live through some great memories, but there's nuggets that we're going to Pac-Man through this whole thing. And so I think it segues us really well, but really profound statement that you just made, Brad. I want to go ahead and commend you on that, my man. The hand feel, I couldn't adjust. The flight wasn't good enough to justify me getting over the hand feel.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, the amount of times that I have heard people grab a disc and they're like, it doesn't look right, it doesn't feel right. A great example of this that comes to mind for me is the A4 by Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
Such a weird hand feel, but it flies incredible. Like, such a great flyer. And so I think that so often in this golf, we let hand feel, especially on throwing discs. I can understand hand feel on like a putting putter because it's such a slow motion, but on throwing discs, the flight of the disc, I think, should be what we're looking at first. Hand feel just complements that. And I know people are going to argue, or maybe you might feel this way, Brad, but like, hand feel, there are enough flights out there that, sure, you might be able to find something similar, for instance. But, like, a great example of this. Okay, so this video is coming out Friday. So, a little spoiler alert for people joining the channel. How about that? A little,
boom.
First man exclusive. So, Tuesday, I'm dropping a video on my channel. I have taken destroyers and wraiths out of my bag.
Whoa.
Which,
destroyers not shocked, wraiths very shocked.
Yeah, so I took them out and replaced them with Raiders from Dynamic Dips.
Okay.
Because I get, depending on the Raider that I throw, I'm getting the same distance and movement that I get out of a wraith without ever worrying all the way over.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have the overstability that I want on a forehand that I get out of my destroyers.
Mm.
The rim of a Raider feels so weird in my hand. Mm. Like, when I throw it on backhand, I will be the first to admit I don't love how it feels, but it flies really well.
Yeah. I think you make a good point because this has never been said before by me. I don't love how the Vulture feels. I know. But I bagged three of them and I love the flight. So I just get over it.
Yeah.
So I know everyone hears me talk about hand feel a lot, but just I've never said that out loud. The Vulture does not feel great in my hand. And I love that, the Vulture. It just, again, the flight outweighs how that little bit of discomfort maybe I feel sometimes when I throw it.
Yeah. So, moving down that line of how you like or discs you like, what were discs that kind of surprised you this year?
I think from the beginning of the year, a lot of mint discs like made it in my hand. I think that was really I'll call my real awakening of like trying all these like niche brands and like smaller brands and things like that. And obviously the Jackalope. Anyone who's listened to this podcast, the Jackalope was like something I loved pretty immediately. And then the Lobster, I believe, came this year. And I think what the biggest thing the Lobster did for me And I think you'll see it in the rest of some of, it's ironic, some of the discs I picked out that I really love that actually made my bag this year and have stayed in my bag. Because like the Thunderbird, for example, it is always on like the bench. Like it'll come in and out. No. But there's a couple that have really stayed in my bag. And I think the Lobster is no longer in my bag, but the Lobster did something very important for me, which was teach me like what a really good like mid-range flight could be if I chose the right disc that really matched what I wanted it to do. I think it started like helping me see how to use some like understability to my advantage and like let me feel like ease into that, because the Lobster wouldn't like super, it wasn't super flippy on me, but it would turn real pretty easy and I could throw it hard and it would turn steady. I think it like really made me understand why that shot's important. And so like the Lobster's on my back for a long time. And what has really taken its place, which I think it just does a better job probably for me, is the Origin. And I resisted the Origin so hard. Every time I picked one up, I'm like, man, this feels great. Man, this feels great. And I loved it. And then, you know, I think what really like started me having some like second thoughts is when you, Jason, did a bag draft with us and you sent that your Origin that's like beat into perfection. And there's no flight like that Origin flight. And again, the one I have does not fly like that, but it will. I know it will. And I'm like, I need like four of those. And I think what the Origin has done really well that maybe like changed my mind is like that Lobster pretty much stayed the same the entire time I threw it. It didn't like beat in it anymore. Really, it didn't start turning anymore for me. And like the Origin is just like a little more shallow, which I think makes me feel like I get a cleaner release out of it. And I feel like I can throw it just as hard and I'm not have to worry about it burning over. So it just really kind of filled that gap a little bit. And it really, instead of having like a dune and a Lobster and then an up, a detour and an uplink, I feel like the Origin is really like Origin. Then I go to my hex after the Origin or I go down to the uplink. I feel like it really filled that whole middle section out because I can throw it on some hyzer and it'll flip up. I can throw it flat and hard and it'll turn a little bit. And I think it's like kind of helped me start closing some of these bigger gaps I've left open for multiple discs, which I think is another lesson I can probably talk about later. So, and then coming from that, I mean, I switched my putters to the inner cores. I mean, that was a big change this year. And I think it just, again, doing that now, I'm not putting with inner cores anymore. I'm now Butter Boy. And thanks to our Patreon, our Hyzer Club members, which I'm liking so far, by the way. I haven't played a ton, but the rounds I've played very well. And I think it's just like, okay, I got a new putter, I got to focus. Yeah. And I think that's probably what it is more than anything. So the inner core, sadly, is they're not my putters anymore, but it is now my understable throwing putter, because again, throwing some of these more understable discs and like really focusing on some form and like clean releases and not having to throw things like at 95% power and have them turn.
Yeah.
Has been really great. And I think it's been a challenge because I've had to like really rethink how I'm throwing and really rethink some like decisions on the course, but overall it's been a good experience. And that kind of led me to the sale as well. Again, very understable disc, but learning how to like use it. I know I can like throw a bunch of different shots. I can throw a roller with it, which is crazy. Never thought I'd be able to do that. And it's let me, in full disclosure, the sail and the diamond and the vortex have all kind of like, it's an area I'm still like, like fleshing out a little bit, just because I don't know what the best one is. I always go back to the diamond just because I really fell in love with the diamond a long time ago. And I love how I can throw it like super nose up in the air and get this huge sweeping like turn shot. Not that I can't do it with a sail. Thing I've never been able to do with a diamond is throw a roller, and I can with a sail. So I just don't know what shot's more important to me right now. That's the only reason I'm deciding. But again, coming back to the thing I learned here is this understability, I'm not afraid to throw it anymore because I'm like thinking about the shot. I think just throwing more discs, I've really got to see like what's kind of possible. And like that's encouraged me to just keep trying those shots, even if they're not the best, or I'm not throwing the best shots, or I make mistakes. Like, and you know, seeing you throw like a sail on like a extreme hyzer forehand, seeing it flip up and turn left on forehand, like that's a very cool shot too that I'm trying to work on. So the sale really is always, it's kind of like the Thunderbird. It's always kind of coming in and out. It's not off the team. It's just on the bench right now, just trying to figure that out. And then the Quake really surprised me. The Quake kicked my Nebula out of the bag. Again, the Quake didn't feel the best in my hand. Like the Nebula felt better in my hand, but the Quake Flight I like so much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that Nebula, one really.
Nebula was one that if you would have told me based on how hyped we were at the beginning of like the podcast, I remember because the Nebula you tried like 3 or 4 episodes in, like it was an early one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, Brad's a Nebula lifer for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I was too. And the Quake really, I think really too, the Quake and like some availability of the Quake, you know, Nebula's not necessarily like super available. That kind of swayed my decision a little bit, but I don't know. It just, the Flight, I think, is what I really always wanted the Nebula to be. I would just kind of make the Nebula work. Yeah. And the Quake, I feel like I could throw the Quake much farther than the Nebula for whatever reason. So those are the ones I've really like, are most of those are still in the bag, or like the lessons I've learned from them to put other stuff in the bag to make me, you know, I feel like a better rounded player and think about my bag a lot differently. And I think it's also the blessing and the curse of the show is I throw a lot of discs. So I'm always like thinking like, okay, am I making the best decision in my bag that I could? You know, there's some staples like the Zone has always stayed in there. The Envy has stayed in there. The Uplink has stayed in. Now that I'm like, I fell in love with the FD a long time ago and it's really become a staple in my bag. The Mockingbird is still in there. The Vulture is still in there. So I have like these pillars in my bag, but I'm really trying to like always fill in and make things kind of like pillars, you know what I mean? You know, I'm looking for something I love as much as the Envy in like an overstable like mid-range. And I'm still looking for that because like I have my Bobcat in there and I decided I want to go away from the Bobcat, and I have not found anything to replace that yet. I just really haven't. So you know, but the cool thing is we're going to recommend that. That's going to be a thing, you know. We're going to, someone's going to need that slot and I'm going to try something and I might fall in love with that. That's just what happens on the show.
Yeah. It's cool to watch the progression of your bag evolve. And also, I mean, I love when people walk up and they're like, oh yeah, man, I never tried an F2, but you know, Reed comes on the episode and he hypes up the F2 and now like, I got 4 Prodigy discs in my bag. Like I would highly encourage we walk through people's bags, not just for the sake of like content, but we walk through their bags. And the hope is, I think lots of people will look at the suggestions we make at the end of the video. But I would encourage you as you're listening in 2024, listen for like how people are describing the discs that they have in their bag and think to yourself, I'll know that I have a disc that does that kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. I especially look to the people who are like, I don't throw forehands because I think there are so many players out there that's just so true for. Mm-hmm. And you may be struggling at a certain distance to get this shot shape. I played around yesterday. There were 5 of us playing. They played doubles, I played Mully Man, and we kept walking up to holes and I was like, oh, it's a forehand. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. I'm throwing the forehand. And then I watched as everyone else threw a backhand. It's like,
yeah,
I can't imagine. I mean, we talked, the person I'm staying at Dylan Cease's house, and Dylan, you would think as a pitcher, throws forehands and throws them really well. Right. But that's an aspect of his game that for the sake of his arm, it's kind of like a big deal to risk throwing forehands. So he doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wise choice, some might say. like he is having to throw these completely different lines than me. And he literally said, man, disc golf would be way easier if I could just throw a forehand. But you may not be an MLB pitcher listening to this episode, That'd be crazy. If you are, please let us know. Justin Verlander hops in the chat. But if you're listening to this and you have some reason for a forehand restriction, be it age, mobility, prior injury, I mean, Brad, you and I have both gone through a season where we can't throw forehands because of an injury. Be looking at those options. Be considering those options. So speaking of moving into 2024, I feel like we'll move in that direction, Brad. Well, we've arrived. We are in 2024.
We're here.
So
we're here.
Here we go. Episode 56, holding it down. We wanted to take a second to kind of talk about dreams or channel or like ideas coming our way. So we'll go ahead and tease a little something about like the future of In the Bag. As things are happening, if you're a Foundation podcast listener, you may have heard an announcement coming over on one of our other channels, or one of our other podcasts, Griplocked. Griplocked is moving to its own channel in a month.
I think by the end of January, So Griplock's going to be moving over, and that for you audio only people, nothing's changing.
Yeah.
It's really just where it's living on YouTube for you you folks that are watching, or you know, using YouTube to do your listening/watching. And the reason we're doing that is just to, I mean, it's just better. It'll help all of you see episodes. A lot of episodes get lost if you're a Foundation Podcast subscriber. The algorithm is not going to let a bunch of our podcasts or clips or shorts or whatever pop up in your feed. It won't let it crowd it. So you might miss, you know, if there's an awesome thing on tour life that happened, you might miss that clip because you see the off season pop up instead. You know what I mean? So what we really want to do is divide all those up so all of you can see what you want to see and make sure you have visibility to. And, you know, again, I guess just kind of teasing, In the Bag will be doing that at some point this first quarter of this year. Again, audio only folks, nothing's going to change for you, but we'll have a channel. But what that's going to allow us to do is one thing that we've received a ton of requests for, which is posting some clips and shorts, especially of like me actually out in the field throwing, or if I'm working on a specific throw or a specific shot shape and it ties to the episode, being able to actually put that out as some content versus just talking about it. You know, that kind of content we'll have somewhere like a lot better to live versus, you know, just randomly appearing in the Instagram story or something, or one of our personal Instagrams. It'll actually have a place to live. And those of you that want to check that out, we'll have an opportunity to like really dive in and look at that a little deeper, which I think is very cool.
I think that it's such a good move just from a like content consumption point, because like Brad said, like even we believe in every podcast we have here on our network. And like we wouldn't say, oh, I think this is gonna be a terrible podcast. Hey Connor, you wanna run this like if it's bad, don't post it. That's kind of, you know, the opposite of our motto here. But I think it does allow more content creation opportunities. So what we would love your feedback on is with sort of, let's call it a blank canvas of potential there. What are pieces of content, segments, things that you want to see us post to that channel? And it could be, I mean, even shorts, I'm thinking of a world like we're doing recap episodes and all that, but like when we have people come on the podcast, hey, we would love for you when you get the disc in the mail, video you throwing it for the first time and give us like raw reaction, things like that. Like I think those create really cool shorts. If you guys are interested in listening, because this podcast will always be for you.
And that's a great point, is just giving that a place to live too. I think, again, thinking about what's adding to the show, adding to your experience, I think that's going to be bringing everything almost full circle, is just, you know, is that exact thing, an unboxing and first throw. And you know, go ahead, Robbie.
I was going to say, like, another thing that we want to kind of add are segments or future episode ideas, things like that. So Brad, you had a future episode idea for a series sort of starting in 2024. And I think the heart of what we're trying to do on In the Bag, which is like decluttering, filling holes in players' bags so that you can have the potential to score before you even get there, kind of manifest itself in a certain way with an idea.
Yeah. So I, you know, and would like to be transparent and honest on this podcast. So, you know, I think it was really hard. I didn't really play. I didn't play any tournaments in 2023 other than playing that Ivy Hill flex start. And I played like the worst round of my life and it destroyed my rating. I don't really care about my rating a ton. I think ratings only matter personally. This is my personal feeling. This is not the feeling of anybody else, but I feel like ratings really only matter for amateur players in the sense of like really seeing where I am as compared to the hole. And also making sure again at tournaments, you know, like skilled players are competing against one another before they move up to another division, et cetera. So I think that's really, really where that lives. I've always been like a low 800 player because I played a few random B tier, C tier sort of things when I first started, just because I like competing. And, you know, after that flex start, I went down into the 700s. I forget what exactly my rating is, but I know I'm not a 700 rated player. So what I'd like to do in 2024 is, you know, what does it take for me to get the 900 by December 31st, 2024? Obviously, I'm going to be playing some tournaments, playing a lot more than I have in the past. But, you know, I spoke to Robbie about this. Can part of that live here on this channel as like a segment, as a like series, like a one-off episode every month, as YouTube shorts, as whatever? I mean, I think again the possibilities are kind of what you all would like to see the most, but you know, is that something you all like to see? And I think like Robbie said, it starts with my bag. I am working a bunch on it, but do I get to the point where I kind of like freeze it and find a way to freeze it and work on it as is? And then, you know, we could even do like kind of live coaching, live form reviews, talking about other things like how to play a course, how to select shots based on what you have in your bag, how to use your skills and weaknesses to your advantage on the course. I mean, there's a lot we could do with that series. Again, it wouldn't become the podcast, but a one-off episode every month or every 2 months or whatever. Or is it a series that we post separately? Again, we have that opportunity now because we will have our own channel coming up very soon. Yeah, so that's kind of my thought.
Yeah, no, I think it's such a good idea. And I think that for people who are listening, I mean, our episode's coming on Friday. So imagine the beauty of like, we drop an episode on tournament prep because you're playing a tournament that weekend and someone has this on as they're driving. They just got off work and they're heading out. Mm-hmm. Since we drop at 7 o'clock on Fridays, they're driving. After they grab dinner, they're driving to a tournament, staying for the weekend. Cool.
Right.
Let's take part. Here are things that Brad's considering for his tournament. Yeah, we're moving on. Like we're prepping you as well in the meantime as a listener. Another series that I know we look forward to continuing, we can have some with the experience, is the battle series. So right now, Brad and Jason, the Warehouse Gauntlet, we're 1-1. So we know 2024 is going to have a repeat of that. I think it's a fun battle challenge. I did this with Swanky, where lost it, like whoever we ended up doing it, whoever won got a disc because it was such a good disc. And that disc is going in the bag for a few months. We'll say 3 months, right? Like it's forced to go in the bag. I'm not going to do any year long. This has to go in. But I did think it would be fun if we start throwing on the battle series, like whoever loses gets to pick a disc from the draft or wherever. And that one has to go in the loser's bag for 3 months, and you have to throw it once a rent.
Yeah.
Sanction rounds, out the door. I'm not trying to, especially if we're going to, in one breath, say, hey, let's try to increase our rating. Second breath, by the way, do something goofy. Mm-hmm. No. But like, you're playing a weekly, a foundation weekly, one of these holes, you got to figure it out.
Yeah. I would go as far as to say it replaces that type of disc in your bag. Like, you can't. So like, for example, using the Toro from earlier, maybe we do a bag draft battle and Toro is one of those. And Jason whoops up on me and he's like, hey, your zone's out. You got to Toro it for 3 months. That's what I think.
That'd be tough.
He's got to agree to this. As per usual, he doesn't agree to anything we agree to put him in on this podcast. But
he's a good sport.
That one I'd have to agree. I think he's all in for it, though. But yeah, I mean, that's a series we can keep doing. I know we've done a couple like bag theory episodes, just like building a section of your bag or the whole bag. That could be something we keep doing if you all like that. Also, Robbie proposed kind of like a, hey, should we do some one-off episodes for you bag and manufacturer loyalist folks? Like, oh, you only do disc craft. Well, here's the, 10 disc we would build a disc craft bag around, or whatever that might look like, or, a full tournament bag. This is what we would recommend for theoretical player X that throws 350 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. We can even put out a prompt of like, here are three different players that we want to build a bag for. You get the chance to vote, mm-hmm. and we'll build that player's bag coming up in next week's episode or something like that. So mm-hmm. that way you're getting feedback on it and we can try to identify. That's another place, I'll plug it again, where Disc RPM comes in. Because now when people are inputting their bags, if you've already done this and haven't gone back and updated it, they added a feature to show like how far you grow. So we can even run like a poll of how far are the average throwers inside our 600 plus community inside of Disc RPM? Mm-hmm. And we start there, things like that. So there's a bunch of possibilities. And I know there are players out here who are, you are so loyal to Gyro, but you're getting into it, or you are overwhelmed by the big bag community and you happen to really love Prodigy discs. Great. Let's try to build a Prodigy bag. Things like that.
Yeah, I think those would be great additions. But hey, if you like them, let us know below, please. We are going to take note of these and just build our 2024 schedule around that. Obviously, the bulk of it's going to be what you know and love, which is having guests on, looking at their bag, making a recommendation, and following up with them. And again, speaking of following up with them, if you like check-in episodes, please let us know. We would like to keep doing those if you all like to hear from the folks that have been on the podcast. But yeah, make sure you let us know below what series you like out of the ones we proposed. Is there a different one we're not thinking of that you'd like to see or hear? We're always, I mean, one I was just kind of thinking about that we've never even mentioned it, but you know, there's not only discs that go in your bag, there's other stuff too. Like, we've never even talked about that. Right. You know, is there a one-off like accessories like other things in your bag, other good things to keep in your bag segment we can do, or a one-off if we find stuff. You know, there's a limited possibilities. Just let us know if you have any other ideas too. We'd love to hear those. But above all, you know, in 2024, we're going to keep doing our thing. Again, we are trying to build this community and this podcast for you to help you get better. Hopefully this year we can watch me get a little better too. And just, you know, hopefully there's a lot of lessons for everyone to learn through that. And I'll just try to be as transparent as possible if you all are interested in that. But thank you for all the support. We got a lot of fun things brewing, a lot of fun things coming up, working with some very cool sponsors and supporters of disc golf and our podcast. And, you know, I'm personally just saying I'm very grateful. This is always a fun part of the week. And I love doing it. I love reading comments. I love hearing from you all, and I really just really appreciate it. And it's been a very fun year, and looking forward to another fun year.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely humbled when we got to the end of the year and so many people tagged us as one of their top podcasts. That is something that
was very cool.
As a longtime podcast listener, I know that that happens, like that people listen to podcasts, because obviously people are in my top five of podcasts that are listened to. And like there's podcasts that my wife and I listen to together, and someone mentioned that. And so it just made me really grateful for y'all continuing to listen. And so shorter episode today, but we want to go ahead and pivot a little bit. Speaking of like amazing people working with, how's your Disrex? Y'all, I just can't say it enough. I notice lots of people got, I was seeing lots of Christmas racks. Shout out to actually one of our people on Team Atlas and Team Distock, Cal Brock.
And Team Foundation.
And Team Foundation. So Cal teared it up, and they guys like they got his logo. And Cal is not like he's not Brody Smith level influence. He's crushing it as community. I'm not trying to take anything away from Cal.
Amazing but, like, kid for sure.
You can get an image in like put in. So if you have, once again, you have a favorite pro that you really love, like that's, you can get their logo put in yours. You can get your favorite sports team. All of these possibilities here. And y'all, it just, it looks so good. It's so easy to access your disc. I can't tell you the amount of times as I've made the switch from Raiders to Destroyers. It was just like, oh, cool. Not only do I know where all my Raiders are that I owned, but also I pull these and I can just easily put my Destroyers and Raiders back in there. So wonderful to access.
Yeah. And again, it's modular. It is an investment. It is a piece of furniture, though. If you think of it like that, it is going to last you. So you can do it a bit at a time. It's modular by piece, like a rack at a time. They all stack up together. Again, he's going to have some new products coming out very soon. We'll be excited to shout those out when he releases them. They're going to be definitely a piece of furniture that, hey, if the disc rack is still one of those things where your spouse or your partner is like, hey, can't have all these discs in the house. Can't do it. He's got something coming that will, I think will help you out. That's all I can say right now, but I'm excited. But yeah, thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Heiser Distrax, for that. Make sure you check out the link in the description. You can go over there and check those out. Again, I think he still has some of those quote unquote like factory seconds or scratch and dent ones that are still beautiful. If you want to check out some of those, you got some extra Christmas money, you want to get into those and try them out. That's a great way to do it. And by the way, I know we have a lot of like ad reads, but all Disc RPM, Heiser Disc Racks, Flippy, Double G Jerky, Aura, BetterHelp, all of these brands really support our podcast and make this possible and allow us to do this every week. So thank you for bearing with us, and thank you for supporting those businesses, because those businesses have gone out of their way to support us and support you. So thank you to all of them. And of course, above all, we have to thank FoundationDisc.com.
FoundationDisc.com. Your one-stop shop for all your disc golf needs.
Yeah, because again, thank you for all of you for making Foundation your choice. I know there's a lot of choices out there, and we thank you for making that one to shop with us. It is the end of the year / beginning of the year. Disc golf factories will be spinning up at the beginning of next week, so you're going to see a lot of discs coming in. I've restocked about everything, so we're going to have a ton of discs coming up. As always, look at the recent restock section as those things come in and we keep putting them up. You'll see a lot of new stuff coming in there over the coming weeks. In the meantime, there's still a ton of discs on there. A ton of new Innova has gone up. Discraft is there. I mean, all your favorite brands are there. So check them out. Accessories, Ripped Revenge, these sweet hoodies that I have on right here. We have a lot of those still in stock. They're extremely comfortable. I'm very picky about hoodies. These ones are incredibly comfortable. Check those out as well. Patches, disc dots, Ripped Revenge, bottles, towels, wristbands, you name it, it's there. Make sure you check it out. And hey, as long as you're putting stuff on the outside of your bag and the side pockets of your bag, make sure you check out your favorite discs. Make sure you go throw them. And if you love it and it's good, make sure you keep in the bag for 2024. We'll see you all next week.